Well, I am excited to share the word of the Lord with you all this evening. When Wilson asked me to preach, he said, I'm not going to have you preach on Super Bowl Sunday night. And so I was grateful that he did not set me up for that that tragedy. So I appreciate everyone being here, and I'm really excited to share the things that I have studied with you all. I hope you open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And I'm very fond of this text. And the reason that is because this text came to me at a point in my life when I really needed it. It was really essential to my faith. And what I was struggling with at that time was making sure that I maintained my commitment, not just to the Lord, but to other things. If I committed to doing something when difficult times came, I needed to make sure that I continued that commitment. And so I was genuinely trying to do whatever I had committed to doing, but this life and just wanting to quit kept coming at me, and it kept staring me down. And so I grew weary, and oftentimes I just wanted to throw in the towel and just say, you know what, forget it. And this text came to me at a point where it constantly confronted that issue of wanting to quit. And as I understood this text, it made me aware of the problem of escapism, as I like to call it. And so now when that challenge comes and I don't want to continue going forward, I come back to this text and I'm reminded that there is someone that was just like me who was trying to serve God, and yet he constantly faced trials and he constantly faced those hindrances where he wanted to quit serving the Lord. And so perhaps you're here tonight and you're struggling in your commitment to the Lord. Maybe you're young in your faith and you say, man, I was baptized in the Christ, but wow, I mean, I have to read my Bible, I have to pray, I have to share my faith with the world, I have to do all those things. I just can't see how I'm supposed to do all of those things. That's hard. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you just say, man, life is hard. Life is challenging. The trials keep coming and it just doesn't seem like they're going away. And I just don't know if I can maintain my commitment to the Lord. Whether you're 16 or whether you're 60, I believe that this message is for each and every one of us. Because scripture reminds us of people like you and me constantly trying to serve God, but because of personal struggles, because of life, we just sometimes don't want to honor that commitment. And so in our text today, we learn of a man who's just like you and me trying to serve God, and his name was King Uzziah. And this man was a very devout man of God, and he was extremely blessed. In fact, I want you to hear what the text says of him. In verse 3, I want you to notice some things about Uzziah's life. Verse 3 reminds us that he was a very godly man. In verse 3, it says, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he did right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 4, he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah. And verse 5, he sought the Lord. And so from the text, we learn that Uzziah at 16 years old had set his heart on following the Lord. And I know for some of our young people, that's kind of difficult, especially in the world that we live in, where you're tempted to do what the world does and just think we can go with the flow. But what we learn from Uzziah is that you can serve God at a young age. I remember one of my instructors, and this kind of matches the mentality of the world. I remember one of my instructors in college, I was telling him how I wanted to get married and I wanted to stay pure before I got married and even throughout marriage. And he said, oh, you know, you don't need to do that. You need to party. You need to drink. You need to have all the sex that you want to have. Do all that. And then once you've done all that, then you can get married and do all those things. And I just want to say that that's the world's mentality. And I know it is especially hard for you to be Christian and for you to not gravitate toward that. But what Uzziah reminds us is that no matter what age you are, you can serve God. And there's a verse in Daniel that I really love. You know, when Daniel was taken from his home, the religion of Yahweh, he was placed in a culture that valued foreign gods, and they had all these different philosophies and ideologies. And when King Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel and his friends that you're going to drink what I drink and you're going to eat what I eat, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 tells us that Daniel made up in his mind that he would not defile himself. And so in the same way that you have to make up your mind that no matter what this world's goods offers you, that you are going to make sure that you honor God above all, that you are going to use your mind, your body, your spirit, your talent, your abilities to serve the Lord. That's what Uzziah teaches us as a young man. In verse 5, we're reminded that Uzziah was a blessed man. He was not only godly, but he was blessed. Notice verse 5 says, as long as he sought the Lord prospered him. Notice verse 7, that God had helped him. Verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 15, it tells us of all the fame that Uzziah had accumulated. Why? Because it was the Lord's hand in doing it all. And so Uzziah wasn't just godly, but he was blessed. Now, if you're like me, I'm looking at Uzziah and I'm like, wow. That guy, I want to be just like him. I mean, that's how you do life. It seemed like Uzziah had it going. But if we're not careful, we'll miss the turning point. And notice in verse 16, after hearing all of the godly things and all of the blessed things that God had given Uzziah, we turn to verse 16 and that word, but. And right there is the turning point in Uzziah's narrative. And brothers and sisters, the same is true for us, that oftentimes that is the turning point in our narrative as well. When we begin walking with God, we rejoice that our sins are forgiven. We share our faith. We serve others. We read our Bible. We pray fervently. But somewhere along the line, we compromise. And those things that we were doing, praying, reading our Bibles, going to services, we're not doing anymore. And so what can we learn from Uzziah that will help us avoid this idea of starting good, but making sure that we finish what we started? And so that is what we're going to look at in this text. And I want to give you the first point. And that is, if we are going to finish well, we have to remember, we have to recognize where the source of our blessings are coming from. And that's where Uzziah failed. He forgot who was blessing him. Notice in verse 16, I want you to see this for yourself. Verse 16, the text says, he became strong and his heart became so proud and acted corruptly and was unfaithful to the Lord his God. And so the text is emphasizing to us that Uzziah, he forgot God's blessings. It was not Uzziah who made himself strong. It was not Uzziah who was responsible for blessing himself. Notice verse 2, God prospered him. Verse 7, God helped him. And so it was God who was responsible for blessing Uzziah. And how soon he forgot that God was blessing him. But you know, Uzziah's not the first one that forgot this principle. We learn of Israel as well. And just to give you some context, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is one of my favorite texts in the Bible. Israel is on the brink of possessing the promised land that God is going to give them. And what God is going to tell them is this. He's going to tell them that you're going to go in this land and you're going to see things that you have never seen before. You're going to have trees that you didn't plant. You're going to have houses that you did not build. And if you do not acknowledge my goodness, that I am the one who brought you out of Egypt to this land, you are going to be tempted to forget me. Notice what he says in verse 14. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Verse 17. You may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand had made me this wealth. And so God's way for Israel to avoid this type of arrogant thinking is found in verse 10. He says, when you eat and you're satisfied and you're good and full, you make sure that you bless the Lord your God. Why? Because he is the one who redeemed you from sin. He is the one who redeemed you from slavery. But unfortunately, Israel acknowledged God for a time. But when you get to the book of Judges, they do not acknowledge God. And brothers and sisters, does that sound like you and me oftentimes? that when good comes into our life, how soon we forget the goodness of God, that He is the one that has redeemed us from sin and death, that He is the one who has seated us with Christ in the heavenly places, and yet and still we allow compromise, we allow our personal struggles to get in the way of remembering who is blessing us. And instead of God's blessings changing us, they plunge us into ruin and destruction. And so, like Uzziah, like Israel, if we're going to finish well, we need to make sure that we remember who is blessing us. And I just want to add to that point. You know, the reason for acknowledging God or making sure that we bless Him is not simply saying, God, I acknowledge that You are here. I acknowledge that You are good. We're supposed to do that. But what God wants, instead of just words, He wants deeds too. When we say, God, I love You, I thank You, You are good to me, He wants us to follow that up with obedience to His will. And so often, as you see through Israelite history, they gave God mouth service, but they did not honor Him with their lives. And that's something that we have to constantly be mindful of. And so be mindful of that little voice that sometimes you hear that says, you're a success. You've made it. You've accomplished this. Look at how talented. Look at how many abilities that you have. Be mindful of that little voice. Instead, prayerfully acknowledge that, God, You are the one and only source of my blessings, and I am going to use my talents and my abilities for Your honor and for Your glory, and go and serve Him and go and serve someone else. That's how we learn to remember our blessings. If we're going to finish well, we have to remember, we have to recognize the source of our blessings. But there's a second point I want to mention, and I want you to see how all of this logically flows. When we recognize who blesses us, that God gives us the talents and the abilities to do His work in our world, when we at work and we excel at our jobs, it's because of what God has given us. But now we are to use, we are to take those blessings that God has given us, and we are to use them in service to Him. And so if we are going to finish well, we have to make sure that we do what honors the Lord. And I want you to notice in verse 16, Uzziah's life began by honoring God. If you remember in those earlier verses, he was godly. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, but now he is not. And that's seen in verse 16, where the text says, and I want you to see it for yourself, when Uzziah became proud, notice, he entered the house of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, if you know your Bibles, that's a big no-no. Because God had ordained the priest to offer incense. But Uzziah feels, well, I'm the exception. I'm king, so I can do whatever I want. And as a result, his pride led him to dishonor God. And I want you to notice what the priest says to him. See for yourself in verse 18. The priest told him this, you have been unfaithful, here it is, and will have no honor from God. Now look at that. Here's a king. And yet the King of Kings tells him, you will have no honor from God. Now, I can't help but think about how this is seen or represented in religion today, where a church will begin by honoring God. They're following His word. But through compromise, they begin to say, you know what? How about we start to incorporate these programs? Or how about we add this entertainment to our worship to spice things up? How about we do this with the local church? How about we do that? And essentially, a church thinks that they are honoring God when they do those things. But essentially, what they have done is that they have dishonored Him. And so no longer do we have a church that belongs to Christ, but we have a church that belongs to whomever. And so it is very important that we make sure that in all we do, when we look at Scripture, when we look at what God tells us to do with His church, with our lives, that we are seeking to honor Him in all we do. But you know what? In addition to that, I can see why some churches, and I just want to say I'm not up here trying to beat any church down. That's not my spirit in which I want to say this. I'm just simply pointing out a flaw that we see in religion so that we can avoid it. I think why some churches go down that path is because of this idea of how we come to understand what God wants for His people. And I want to make that point by saying this. When the law stated that God wanted only the priest to offer burnt incense, that meant that it was for the priest. That excluded a prophet, a king, a regular Israelite. That meant no one else but the priest could offer the burnt incense. And so when it comes to the topic of instrumental music, God has stated in his word that I want you to sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. God has clearly stated what he wants from us. He says, I want you to sing and make melody with your heart to the Lord. Where we get in trouble is we say, well, I think God wants this, and I think this will be better. Instead, what we need to see is that God has already stated what he wants. He does not have to add prohibition. God does not have to say, well, I want this, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. He has already stated what he wants. And what we have to do as his people is say, you know what, God, I'm going to honor you. You are good. This is your word, and I am going to follow it. Because that's what matters. Why? We want to do what honors God. And you know what? We may not like that. We may not like it. It may be not what everyone around us is doing. It may be something that goes against what we have always believed. But we always have to bring ourselves back to the question, am I seeking to honor God? Do I want to please him? As Paul says, we make it our ambition to be found pleasing to the Lord. And so that is the question that we constantly have to bring ourselves back to. But I want to get even more practical. Because it's easy to say we need to do what honors God, but what does that mean? And I think the text gives us some practical applications. And so one way that we honor God is by listening to his word. And I want you to notice this is what Uzziah failed to do. Uzziah disregarded the word of the Lord. And you know what, brothers and sisters, I believe all too often, and our culture, we allow culture to determine and to dictate how we are going to live, how we are going to worship God. And what we need to do is mentally block out the corruption of the world and simply only care about what the revelation of God says. Because at the end of the day, that is the only thing that matters. Why? We want to listen to his word so that we honor him and not ourselves. But I give you a point in addition to that. And that is another way that we honor God, is that we listen to the right people. And this is where Uzziah was unwilling to do. I want you to notice that the text tells us that there were 81 priests present that day. 81 priests. And they were all telling him, no, you cannot offer the burnt incense. Now, it wasn't as if half were saying, yeah, you can offer it. And the other half were saying no. They were all in agreement. And what did Uzziah do? Well, he offered the burnt offering. And I want you to notice in verse 18 what the priest says. It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest. Get out of the sanctuary. And notice what Uzziah did. But Uzziah, verse 19, with the censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged with the priest, and he offered the burnt incense. Uzziah not only rejected the word of the Lord, but he also rejected the godly counsel of the priest. Now, here's the thing. Before you say, well, I'm not Uzziah, I can relate to him. As I think back to my time in high school, my 11th grade year, which, according to my mom, was the worst year of her life. And it probably was. It just seemed like I didn't want to listen to anybody, that I thought I knew it all. And if anybody tried to offer me any advice or counsel, I was going to cut you up, chew you up, and spit you out. It was bad. And I remember my uncle sitting me down one day. And I remember him telling me, he said, you know, you got a lot of good people in your life that care about you and that want you to do right. And you need to get some act right. And you need to listen to what they're saying, because if you do not, you're going to end up either dead or in prison. And when he said that, I woke up. Not immediately, but eventually I woke up. And you know, brothers and sisters, I still fight it to this day, that my mom will try to tell me things. And what do I say? Well, Ma, I got this. I'm grown. I got it going on. You just stay in your lane. And then what happens? Well, I go and do whatever and I make a mess of things. And then I think back, well, if I would have just listened to my mom, then I wouldn't be in this predicament. And that's what Uzziah, and that's where Uzziah was. And I'm sure many of you all could attest to that as well. And so the question is, how do you listen to the right person? How do you listen to wise counsel when you struggle with listening and you want to do your own thing? Well, this is what you do. When someone who loves you or has your best interests at heart is offering you some godly counsel, you have to constantly yield your will to theirs. You have to wrestle whatever ego, whatever pride into submission. And you have to say, I know that this person cares. They love me and they value my soul and they want to help me. So I am going to listen to what they are saying. Now, it's not going to happen immediately. It's something you have to constantly work at. And you'll notice the times when people need to tell you something that you need to hear, it'll come at a time when you don't want to hear it. And that's where the true litmus test comes. And so I've come to realize that when I just simply see that this person loves me, that they value my soul, and you know what? I need to listen to them before I make a mess of things. I'm much better off. And perhaps Uzziah would have been much better off as well. I also remember around that time of high school that someone gave me this verse and they told me to memorize it, and I give it to you. And it's in James chapter 1, verse 19, where James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And how true that is. Now, all those are positives as to how we are to honor God, listening to his word, listening to the right people. Those are all easy things, right? We can all do those things. But if those positives don't work, there is a negative in the text. And so if those positives don't move you to honor God, maybe this negative will. And that is, brothers and sisters, if we don't seek to honor God, then there will be judgment. And I want you to notice, I want you to see for yourself the judgment that comes upon King Uzziah, beginning in verse 19, where the text says, while Uzziah was enraged with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead. The priests hurried him, verse 20, hurried him out of there, and he himself hastened to get out of the house because, notice, the Lord had smitten him. Verse 21, King Uzziah was a leper to the day he died. He lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. God's judgment comes upon his king. Why? Because he did not do what honored God, and he forgot the source of his blessings. As the proverbial writer says, pride goes before destruction and a proud spirit before the fall. Now, here's the exciting thing. This is what I really got excited about. Imagine the report that reached the ears of every Jew that day. Wow, did you hear about the king? Wow, he went into the house of the Lord and offered burnt incense. Oh, no, that's not good. Not only that, leprosy broke out on them. That's not good either. But to make matters worse, Yahweh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, excluded him from the house of the Lord forever. Oh no, that's bad. What is the message? Well, hopefully you gain a healthy fear of God. And I hope that's what every Jew that day gathered. But what you see in that is that God is no respecter of persons. It does not matter if you are a king or if you are a regular Israelite. If you do not remember that he is the source of your blessings, and if you dishonor him in any way, there will be judgment. And what's interesting about this is that Israel, not Judah, they were taken away. They were taken off the map by the Assyrians. And the message to Judah is the same fate can befall you if you do not do what God asks you to do. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, the same is true for us. That God is no respecter of persons. That God, yes, certainly he blesses us and he is gracious to us. But God will hold us accountable when we do not honor him and when we fail to remember that he is the one blessing us. Well, what a tragic story, isn't it? I mean, here's a man who started his life off seemingly so well. He was godly. God had blessed him. And yet he allowed his pride to get in the way of that. And as a result, now all that is etched on his tombstone is that he was a leper to the day of his death. What a sad story. But thankfully, brothers and sisters, you and I, though this king failed to do what God wanted him to do, we serve a king who did not fail, right? Jesus came from heaven to earth, and he finished the task that God gave him. And before Jesus could wear a crown, he had to bear a cross. And as Paul says, he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And brothers and sisters, a king that is willing to die for a sinful, a wretched human being like me is a king that I am willing to serve. A king that I am willing to remember that he is the one blessing me. A king that I want to honor, not just with my words, but with my life. A king whose word I want to listen to and his people that I want to instruct me. And I hope that is the same for you. And so this week, how are you going to uphold your commitment to the Lord? Maybe you stop praying for a while and maybe you say, you know what, man, I'm going to start back praying. Maybe you stop seeing the importance of sharing your faith with the world and you say, you know what, I'm going to go talk to somebody. I'm going to tell them what Jesus has done for my life. Maybe you say, I haven't been coming to services. I haven't made my brethren an important aspect of my life. And you know what, I'm going to go find somebody to serve. I hope that is you. I hope that you use whatever talents, whatever abilities, whatever you have that God has given you for his honor and for his glory. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what, I can't do any of those things because I haven't yet started my walk with God. And you know what? God's grace is open to all and he wants you to begin that walk and we want to help you. And so if there is anyone who wants that, who desires that, we ask you to come now while we stand, while we sing.